Some call me Steve, Dad, husband, or friend. Others might call me boss, coach, or mentor. Today, you can call me the Leadership Hacker. Thanks for listening in. I really appreciate it. My job as the Leadership Hacker is to hack into the minds, experiences, habits, and learning of great leaders, C-suite executives, authors, and development experts so that I can assist you developing your understanding and awareness of leadership. I'm Steve Rush, and I'm your host today. I'm the author of Leadership Cake. I'm a transformation consultant and leadership coach, and can't wait to start sharing all things leadership with you. Today's special guest on the show is Athol Duncan. He's the chair of the leadership development business Black Arm Group. He's also worked for the BBC as a journalist for over 20 years and been head of the BBC News Scotland. He's also a certified coach and author. But before we get a chance to speak with Athol, it's the Leadership Hacker News. I just love it when emerging technology and entrepreneurialism come together. In a press release this week, Warner Music and Accenture Interactive announced Saylists, new playlists exclusive to Apple Music, and they're designed to augment the speech therapy experience for young people through the power of music and technology. There are 173 tracks in these playlists, including Dua Lipa's Don't Start Now and Lizzo's Good As Hell, and the BBC reported that some 1 in 12 children across the United Kingdom experience some form of speech disorder, or SSD, and it's also common across the globe. Stammering, or stuttering as it's often referred to, affects at least 1.5 million children in the UK alone. Using an algorithm, Apple analysed the lyrics of its catalogue's 70 million songs to identify the sounds most commonly repeated in speech. As such, the playlists are centred on the sounds of ch, d, f, g, k, l, r, s, t, as an example. They're phonetic sounds that you and I just take for granted. Warner's press release includes comments from speech and language psychologists, all of whom say that these Saylists are an innovative form of therapy. Every speech and language therapist wants to keep children engaged during therapy sessions, as well as help them generalise their target sounds, both at school and at home, said Anna Biavata-Smith. Saylists provide fun, new ways to practice sounds without feeling pressured or getting bored, and having fun, of course, is first step on the rung of learning. So for those that are listening, these new playlists are available to Apple Music subscribers worldwide now. And I just wanted to call out what a great piece of innovation that was. That's been the Leadership Hacker News. If you have any interesting news, stories or facts that you'd like our listeners to hear, then please get in touch. Athol Duncan is a special guest on today's show. He's the chair of leadership development business Black Arm Group. He's worked as a journalist, TV producer and as an ex-executive of the BBC for over 20 years. He's now the author of Leaders in Lockdown. Athol, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to the chat.
Now, we're going to get into the Leaders in Lockdown very soon. And I should imagine the 12 months of having penned the book to kind of where we are now has been a really interesting one. But for those listeners that haven't had a chance to maybe experience your work before, perhaps you can give us a sense of what it is you've done in the past to how you are now.
Sure. Well, Steve, my life has really been in three acts. Act number one, as you were explaining there, I worked at the BBC for a couple of decades, covering the world's main stories, really, the world's big stories. Then act number two, I had an executive career as a bit of a transformation expert, and I worked in the utility sector, I worked in the media sector, and I worked in professional services, trying to transform businesses. And then Act 3 is where I am now, hopefully not my final act. And that's really with a portfolio of non-executive roles, sitting on a few boards, and also as an executive coach. And as you say, now rather scarily as an author.
And did you find that as part of your career evolution and your various different acts of your career, Athol, that there was perhaps a specific trigger or event that caused you to move from one direction to another?
Well, I think the trigger in the most recent events was, you know, a coming together of myself as a business leader and as a storyteller. And there was one particular morning when I was walking on the beach near my house in Scotland. The previous day, I'd had 7 emergency board meetings because of COVID. And I was pretty stressed, to say the least. But I realized that this was a remarkable period of history that we were going through, probably the defining months of this century. And I wanted to capture it in this book, Leaders in Lockdown, by spending time with 28 global business leaders and asking them how they coped with the crisis and how the world was going to change because of the scary events that we were all going through.
And delightful that you did. And we're going to get into some of those lessons that you found from some of those leaders shortly. I think it's quite an interesting moment in time when you look back on the world that we're in at the moment to recognize that we are probably at a very pivotal stage in our global history. And I think not only will the way that we behave change, the way that we interact across businesses will change, but lots of other dynamics that we haven't even experienced yet will become apparent over the next few years. What's your view on that?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, part of the theory of the book is that every long-held belief in business has been thrown out of the window by COVID. And I think, you know, we see that many trends in behaviours and consumer behaviours and business behaviours have really moved on probably a decade in a summer. So the change is massive, and how we cope with that as leaders is something that deserves thorough introspection and great debate.
So what's the focus of the work that you're currently doing with Black Isle Group?
Well, Black Isle Group is really picking up from the challenges of COVID. And we've kind of set ourselves a purpose of changing the face of leadership development. A few of us have been on the other side, have been on the receiving end of leadership development through our careers as business leaders. And we came to the conclusion that quite a lot of what is done in the leadership development world is not fit for the future. So we've created a new approach. We call it the Big Approach. And it essentially brings together a new coaching culture in businesses, a new methodology, and it marries that up with some technology that we've created, which is called Nudge Technology. And through this new Big Approach, we've set ourselves the purpose of trying to help businesses create a new mindset, a new pace of change, and really embed new habits and new behaviours, which set them up to cope with the very new and high-paced and agile demands of the post-COVID world.
So you use the word mindset there, and I wholeheartedly concur that in order to face into our future, I suspect we're going to have a very different mindset than perhaps one we did before the COVID pandemic. But if you think about your portfolio of clients that you work with and businesses that you support in your non-exec roles, how have the different firms responded to the various different impacts on the pandemic?
Well, if you take my non-executive portfolio, if you look at the leadership development world, you know, within 72 hours of the pandemic hitting the UK, we saw most of our clients cancelling or postponing their work. Fortunately, when we got a few months into the pandemic, the more enlightened realised that there was never a more important time to have people helping you with the challenges of leadership and performance. I chair the Scottish Salmon, which is the UK's largest food exporter. That sector was very disrupted because about 60%, we make about £1 billion worth of Scottish salmon every year, and the vast majority of it goes to export. And of course, the markets were closed, the borders were closed, the restaurants were closed, and that sector was really faced grinding to a halt. I'm also the audit chair in a cinema business, and I think the cinema industry might be one that may never be the same again, may never indeed recover. The whole model may change. And the curtains fell in our cinemas in late March 2020, and they've not risen again since. And then in the executive coaching world, again, I think that was a moment for that sector. because the enlightened leaders never needed executive coaches more. They needed the time to take a breath, to reflect, to have someone to hold a mirror up to what they were doing. So it's vastly different experiences. And I think that's what most business leaders have experienced. It's been a land of opportunity and there's been a land of desperation.
And do you think mindset's got a lot to do with that as well?
Well, my mindset was absolutely fascinating in the 28 leaders that I met. I'm going to tell you about one of them. Is a 28-year-old venture capitalist called Pocket Sun, who's based in Singapore, was born in China, went to university in the States, and discovered that only 2.8% of venture capital goes to female entrepreneurs in the States. And she pledged to change that, created a fund which supported solely female entrepreneurs, and then pointed that fund at opportunities in the crisis, from a healthcare, a home testing healthcare company in Texas, to an online wedding dress company, to a death care company, and to a company that helped young people with their mental health. So her mindset was all about opportunity. And the great entrepreneurs who I interviewed for the book, even though their businesses sat in tatters round about them, they weren't despondent. They were working at how to build back, use that phrase, how to build back better. And they were looking at where the opportunities were that were coming out of the crisis.
And I guess that's what sets entrepreneurs aside from those who are just content and happy to be working in corporate jobs versus driving their own agenda, driving their own thoughts. And Pocket Sun is one of those people you quote quite a bit during the book in terms of how she's approached her work and her teams and taken advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, and it's maybe another definition of being an entrepreneur, isn't it? It's people who are addicted to opportunity.
Mm. It's the old adage, isn't it? It's not about the event, it's how you react and respond to the event that gives you your outcomes.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that era of opportunity, I worked a lot in the past with Sir Brian Suter, who was the founder of the Stagecoach transport empire. And he talks very passionately about dynamics and mechanics, dynamics being the ideas, the vision and the creativity of the entrepreneur, but how it always needs to be balanced with the mechanics of process and compliance and conformity and rules. And that is one of the secrets to successfully growing an organization into the scale. You know, the one Stagecoach was £1 billion plus business. It's that balance between dynamics and mechanics and constantly getting that in the right place.
I like that. It's a nice lens to look through. So we're now a year into the pandemic. And when you first penned the book, Leaders in Lockdown, it was just as we were emerging through that first wave, if you like, of what the pandemic brought to us. And when we last met, we had the anticipation that we'd be sat here a year in almost and on a new trajectory in a new direction. But we kind of still seem to be not too far further forward than where we were before, albeit, of course, we've got the vaccination. We have some light at the end of the tunnel. So how have folk responded to the book?
Well, people have been very kind about the book. The reviews have been very kind about it. And I've kind of moved. It's been shortlisted in the Business Book Awards, which was very, very nice, but rather surprising. But I've kind of moved in a way from being an author to being a bit of an evangelist around the themes in the book. And you're right in what you say about we thought we would be in a different place by now. I mean, I share one secret with you, Steve. When we decided to do this book, our biggest concern was that people would have forgotten about COVID. Would it still be current and relevant when it was published in the autumn of 2020? And here we are in the spring of 2021, and lockdown is still going strong in the UK. And as you say, we've not really emerged, perhaps, and seen the full impact particularly in terms of unemployment and businesses going bust, because we're being propped up by government money in the private sector over the place.
Yeah. And throughout the book, you interviewed senior executives, thought leaders from around the world. And in doing so, you found that there were about 7 broad themes that were consistently present. And I thought it might be useful just to maybe spin through those 7 themes, and we can maybe dig into a couple as we go.
Sure. So the 7 themes were really a bringing together of the commonalities between the 28 business leaders. Theme number 1 is the new age of purpose, because there was a common view that purpose was had never been a more important time for purpose. And you saw businesses who were very purpose-focused really flourishing. And that leaders thought that coming out of COVID, purpose would no longer be just a line or two to emblazon on your website and forget about. So they're predicting a new age where purpose really matters and purpose really counts in terms of engaging your employees and engaging your clients and customers. Theme number 2 was the new world of work. And obviously, the piece that has been most discussed and written about there was moving many, many millions of people from offices to home. But the new world of work is going to be far more than that. It is going to be how we cope with this hybrid way of working, which most people predict will come out of it. And also, I think it's made people ask themselves, people of all generations ask themselves, what is work? And I think that will result in a complete redrawing of the psychological contract between employer and employee. Theme number 3 was tackling inequality, because at every level, COVID exposed inequality, not just through the inequality of homeschooling, the inequality of the vaccine, the inequality of who the COVID killed. And coming out of it, you're going to see inequality widen in all areas of society. And this was really a feeling from business leaders that they had to play their part. What were they doing about tackling the black hole of unemployment? Were they really serious about diversity and inclusion? Were they just making people redundant, or were they considering a new mindset towards reskilling people?
It's really been stark, hasn't it, this one particular, because it's really shone a light on where companies were focused around diversity, inclusion and inequalities, and where they haven't. And that void has just become bigger in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in all of these things, you know, the theory is that it's up to the corporate world, and it's up to leaders in the corporate world to try and move in and tackle this, because frankly, a lot of our politicians and our governments are not doing a good enough job on these issues. And that was very strong in the 4th theme, which is global cooperation. And at a moment that we wanted our politicians to be looking across boundaries, to be working together with other nations to tackle this terrible pandemic, they turned inwards. They set nation against nation. And this wasn't just China and the US. I think you saw this in many, many governments around the world. You saw it across Europe. And a feeling really from, particularly from the leaders of big corporates, that it was the big corporations in the future who had a strong and effective role in tackling the global problems, because we couldn't rely on our politicians to do it. Theme number 5 was resilience, not just financial resilience or operational resilience, not just the personal resilience of how we as individuals got through a crisis which has gone on for so long. Theme number 6 was all about resetting the supply chain and the principle that we need to move away. I mean, the global supply chain ground to a halt, and we need to move away from just in time and move to just in case, and the belief that we can do that and save money, and that the pandemic had exposed weaknesses in supply chains which really had developed over decades, and those weaknesses are there because supply chain decisions were made about efficiency and the lowest cost. And that didn't stand up to scrutiny when we had the global pandemic that closed borders.
And interestingly also, it's in the whole kind of efficiency, lean management, call it what you will, in terms of squeezing that supply chain, has proven also to stifle innovation and creativity in doing so.
Absolutely. And, you know, it wasn't very efficient when the supply chain ground to a halt. One of the other areas in there, which I just touch upon, but I find quite fascinating, is a suggestion that as a result of the pandemic, you could see a lot of manufacturing moving back from Asia to Europe and to the US, but it wouldn't be carried out by human beings. It would be being carried out by robots. And then the final theme, which is very much in our world, Steve, we described as maximizing potential. And this was the bit where Lena Nair, who's the chief HR officer of Unilever, suggested that we'd seen the end of the Superman leader, and she did mean the Superman leader, and the start of a new era of empathetic listening and compassionate leadership, and how that was the most effective way to lead in the pandemic and after the pandemic. And a number of other themes just running in there about executive preparedness. You know, we were confronted with, no longer was it an option to look after ourselves physically because we couldn't get through this unless we did. No longer is it an option to take or leave the issue of mental health for executives and for the rest of workforce. And it also exposed that where leaders did have executive coaches or mentors who gave them time to catch breath, they made better decisions. They made better decisions if they had someone who could hold a mirror up to them. So those were the seven themes. There's so much to unpack in each one, but that's what the leaders in lockdown were telling us.
And what you also found as part of your research and your conversations was a new way to help leaders think. And you created a model called LEAD. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the leading model I've played with quite a bit, and I suppose it comes back to maybe a bit of my journalistic background. And we created the leading model really by asking executive coaches, where are the areas that you find yourself coaching executives most? And they described these as being the blockers to people moving to the next level and also the enablers to people moving to the next level. And the L in leading is for looking like a leader. So the behaviors, the gravitas, the persona, the actions of a leader. The E was round about empowerment and empathy and emotional intelligence. The A was awareness and particularly self-awareness. The D was delivery, getting things done. The I is impact. Your communication style, your brevity, your clarity, your impact. The N is for nurturing, and the G is for game changing. Do you, as a leader, really change the game, or do you only create incremental change?
Given the fact that the pandemic has changed the game for all of us, this is a perfect opportunity for all leaders to reframe and rebase their game, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think if it calls into question everything that has gone before in the way that we run our businesses, I think it calls into question the way that we lead. And you know, in the environment, the pace of change that will come now and will not slow down in the future, the agility that's required in leadership, we need to reframe the behaviours of the leaders that we have.
Thinking about the examples that you were shared with you by the leaders that you interviewed, as well as your own experiences, you kind of captured this in the last chapter of your book called Maximizing Potential. So now's a chance for us to do that. What's the reason, in your experience, some will grab the opportunity and run into the uncertainty and the ambiguity, but others will maybe avoid it?
So I think the reasons leaders do things, and you know, we know this from executive coaching, is it comes back to past experience and to leader know yourself, doesn't it? And you know, we work a lot with psychometric analysis at Black Isle Group. I'm sure that that's a place where you probably start with a lot of your coaching.
Absolutely.
So if you look for the reasons why particular leaders do a particular thing or don't do a particular thing, then you have to go to the inner game to get your answer. And quite often when you go to the inner game of the leader, the answers are really quite startlingly obvious.
Yeah, I call it the voice in your head.
Absolutely.
The one that you wake up with, the one that you go to bed with, and it'll be the last voice you hear when you leave the planet as well. So it's got to be an empowering voice.
Yeah.
So the next part of the show, we'd love to hack into your years of experience and diverse experience to kind of try and distill some top tips and ideas for our listeners. So if you had to distill them, what would be your top three leadership hacks?
Well, number one top hack for me, very apparent during the pandemic, was you need to create the space to think and to reflect. If your agenda is absolutely packed full, you will be denying yourself one of the most important things about leadership, which is the time to think and the time to reflect. Leadership number two, you must have someone who will tell you the uncomfortable truths. There's a Scottish poet called Robert Burns, and I won't do this this bit of poetry in Scottish. I'll translate it into English.
Go for it.
And it basically says, would someone the power to give us to see ourselves as others see us, it would from many a blunder free us and foolish notion. And we're surrounded by leaders, I'm afraid, who live in a hall of mirrors with people telling them what they want to hear in an echo chamber, which leads to narcissistic and blind leadership. So anyone who's listening to this who aspires to further leadership, get yourself someone who will be your conscience.
Love that.
Who will see yourselves as others see us and will challenge you. And, you know, I had this, I'll give you a good example of this with one of the people I was coaching through the pandemic, whose automatic reaction was at the start was to act very quickly and make a large number of people redundant. And I got that person to stop in their tracks by asking them, well, what is your responsibility to society right at this moment? And will that help by making a large number of people redundant, or will it just mean that they can't pay their mortgages, they default, the economy goes into a further downward spiral? So he went to the people and he said, what solutions do you have to this issue? And they put their hands up and they said, we'll job share, you know, we'll take a reduction in our salary, we'll some of us will take temporary leave, and you know, that to me is the result of someone who is telling you the uncomfortable truths as a leader.
Yeah. And how powerful is it that you, by having that conversation, managed to help that individual reframe and actually give control to the people who could make those right decisions?
It is, but it's relatively easy for us because we're not in the center of the dogfight of trying to save the business. You know, I'm walking on the beach thinking, you know, what on earth is going to happen here? I have that time to reflect, and I'm here to challenge. I'm no longer a player in the game. I'm an observer from the sideline.
You're right. However, part of creating the space to be a great leader is creating the space to think.
Absolutely.
And however busy we are, it's about reprioritizing and giving us that freedom and that room to kick the leaves about, metaphorically.
Yeah, and you know, first thing I would do as an executive coach is to ask to see the leader's diary. And if there's no thinking time in it, I challenge that. The next thing I would do is to try and see, is the time in the diary actually aligned to the objectives, the main objectives and the main aims of the leader? And most of the time it isn't.
Exactly, exactly right.
So, you know, the leader will tell you that they want to do A, B, and C and say, well, actually, you've got no time in that because you're doing operational stuff, you're doing stuff that one of your directors could do, you know, and you're spending time doing stuff which you shouldn't be doing at all.
So hack number three?
Hack number three, be purpose-led. And again, I think the pandemic underlines the importance of purpose. So find your purpose as an individual and ensure that your business has found its purpose and that the people in your business know what that purpose is and believe in that purpose. Because, you know, I think COVID reminds us that without purpose, we're empty vessels.
Yeah, very much so. And it's interesting, and I don't know if you found this in the work that you've done, but purpose always seems to be the one that is most alluring for folk, but yet most underinvested in terms of just granularity and understanding.
Absolutely. And I think that that is hopefully something that will come out of COVID. I mean, I worked with somebody the other day who was from an extremely well-known brand. And they told me with a bit of pride that, yes, we were on the case with purpose and this had helped them through the pandemic. But then revealed that they got on the case with purpose about 12 months before the pandemic started. And I was fairly shocked. Mm-hmm. So that underlines your theory that, you know, real understanding and real embedding of purpose in the corporate world is still pretty sadly lacking.
And also purpose can change.
Absolutely.
Given the environment and experiences, and you need to reevaluate that just as you do with your strategy.
Absolutely. I mean, I chair UK Coaching, which works with sports coaches and community coaches, essentially as a learning and development a business that champions coaches. And in a way, COVID has helped to crystallize our purpose, because the nation will not recover and the health of the nation will not recover unless we protect and increase activity, movement, exercise and sport. And all of a sudden that organization has become the catalyst through which that is done, because it isn't done without coaches.
That's right.
So the purpose has been crystallized, and indeed the purpose is much clearer, hopefully, for the people in that business.
The next part of the show our listeners have become familiar with is called Hack to Attack. So this is where something typically hasn't gone well. It could have been catastrophic. It could be in your personal life or your work. But as a result of the experience, that's now helping us in a positive way. What would be your hack to attack?
Well, my hack to attack is based in catastrophic failure, and I go back a long time, but I was asked to speak at a convention of local councillors, and I said to the people who was organising, you know, what do you want? Oh, we want a kind of business thing, are you sure you've got the right person? Yes, we've definitely got the right person. When I turned up on the night, the person who was chairing the event said, well, I hope you're going to be funnier than that Dara O'Brien. So what do you mean? Well, we had him last year and he wasn't very funny. I did not have a comic speech prepared. So I tried to think of a comic speech while eating my beef or chicken. And I think I probably went down pretty well like a lead balloon. Managed to just escape with my life, and was pretty, how could I put it? I was pretty down about the whole thing, would be an understatement. So it did impact quite badly on me.
I can imagine, yeah.
And I vowed to become a more competent communicator, performer, presenter, speaker. And now one of my specialities is helping other people to communicate with brevity, clarity and impact. But it could have gone either way. And it's quite interesting. I quite like biopics.
Yeah.
And I was watching a biopic the other night about Audrey Hepburn. And the failure that Audrey Hepburn had in her early life were quite marked. And as we see, I think, with all good leaders, good stars, that is the way you bounce back from that.
Totally.
Failure is what makes the woman or the man.
And that's the whole premise of Hack to Attack. It's that, you know, there always will be adversity, there'll be failures. But if we reframe them as learning,
yeah,
it helps propel us forward.
Yeah. So, you know, we all want to be good. I think we all want to be good and influential performers, presenters, communicators. So my hack to attack is say, you will bomb.
Yeah.
You will bomb several times and just learn from it and crack on.
Awesome. Well, one of my favorite parts of the show is the next bit we get to do with you, which is to do a bit of time travel. And you now get to go to bump into adult 21 and give them some advice. So what's it going to be?
Well, I think two bits of advice. I think whatever your ambitions are at 21, you're not being ambitious enough. Because I think when you're 21, you have no idea what you're actually capable of. And I think leaders seem to be, depending on what your background is, leaders seem to be people who are in positions that perhaps you won't achieve. So early imposter syndrome at 21, and it's only when you get into the latter part of your career that you realize that, well, there are obvious key skills in leadership. Many, many, many people who never imagine lives in leadership are actually extremely capable of doing them. And, you know, Sir David Behan, who's the executive chair of HC1 care homes, 1,000 people died in his care homes in the first 100 days of lockdown. He's brilliant on this and how he saw leadership at every level in his care homes, and leadership's not a title. So I think that would be one thing that I would definitely say to Athol at 21. I think the other thing I would say, which came a little bit mid-career for me, is to think international, to get yourself an international outlook, because the way that we do business globally now, I think is the key for many, many people and the opportunities of that. So I would get a global outlook early on. So think big, think global, and crack on.
Awesome. Love it. So what's next for you and Big R Group?
Well, just in the immediate future, I was saying I've become a bit of an evangelist for these messages in the Leaders in Lockdown book. So we've developed Leaders in Lockdown workshops, and we're taking them out to businesses and out to business groups. And it's more about leading out of lockdown. And we're trying to help individuals and to help organizations. We're doing quite a lot of this free of charge, because I honestly think that there's so much that businesses have to cope with in the next 12 months and beyond that the business community needs to rally around together and help each other. So short term, it's doing Leaders in Lockdown workshops. I'm doing one tonight with global chief information officers. I'm really enjoying and doing them. And then beyond that, we maybe think about what the next book is that we can write.
Leaders out of lockdown.
Leaders out of lockdown. Well, I'm quite drawn, I must admit. There's two places that I'm quite drawn to. I'm quite drawn to learning more from the world's most interesting leaders. So they're not necessarily the leaders who have the most prominent positions, but the ones who are challenging what we're doing across business. So I think that might be quite an interesting book. And I also have a bit of a fascination about the narcissistic leader.
Yeah.
And not because I like them, but because I think more and more we want to be able to identify them and make sure that we learn from them and we try and stop their rise to the top, because the shareholder damage, the damage of value, the damage of society from narcissistic political leaders is utterly colossal over time. And it's a failure of all of us not to spot these people and weed them out.
And they're still present in our communities and in our workplaces, and it's spotting some of those traits that will help us call them out. And
absolutely.
Yeah, love it. So as folk have been listening to this, they've probably been thinking, how do I get myself a copy of Leaders in Lockdown, and where can I find a little bit more about Athol's work? Where should we send them?
Well, Leaders in Lockdown is available on Amazon. I would say it's available in all good bookshops, but most good bookshops are closed at the moment. So the great god Amazon is probably the best place to go. Book Depository if you're elsewhere in the world, because I think they deliver free of charge. If you want to find out more about Black Isle Group, just check out blackislegroup.com. And there's a little bit more about me on athelduncan.com. That's Athel with two L's. And the great thing about having a slightly unusual name like Athel is if you stick it in Google, you find me quite quickly.
Yeah, can't be many Athel Duncans around.
Not too many.
Excellent. Well, it's been a super pleasure talking to you. I'm grateful for you taking time out of a busy schedule to be with us. And we're delighted that you're part of our Leadership Hacker community. So, Athel Duncan, thank you very much for being on the show.
Steve, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Athel.
I genuinely want to say a heartfelt thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in to. We do this in the service of helping others and spreading the word of leadership. Without you listening in, there would be no show. So please subscribe now if you haven't done so already. Share this podcast with your communities and network and help us develop a community and a tribe of leadership hackers. And finally, if you'd like me to work with your senior team, your leadership community, keynote an event, or you would like to sponsor an episode, please connect with us via our social media. And you can do that by following and liking our pages on Twitter and Facebook. Our handle there is @leadershiphacker. Instagram, you can find us there @the_leadership_hacker. And at YouTube, we're just Leadership Hacker. So that's me signing off. I'm Steve Rush, and I've been the Leadership Hacker.